that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we thank you for joining us this morning. And we've got a full crew on. We're coming in this January 27th. Jason, are you there, buddy? Good morning.
Yeah, you need to turn your mic down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm adjusting that now.
We got a bad echo in here.
I don't know how this just rips and snorts around like that, but it is Saturday, January 27th, and Tim, good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
And Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning, Remnant. Now, we've got the phone lines open this morning. If you want to give us a call, we've got some, I'm sure, a few things to talk about. But, Jason, do you want to open us up in prayer?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, we just pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, Lord, we just, there's so many things to talk about. There's so many directions to go, and there's so many things taking place. And we just, first and foremost, we cry out and we ask that your people turn their hearts and their minds back to you and seek you, and seek you first, and seek ye your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. And,
amen.
Yeah, Paul, as you mentioned right before the program, things do seem to be heating up down in Texas. Things that we've been talking about and sharing with the Remnant for quite some time now, kind of making the headlines on the news as far as the invasion. We've seen in the last week or so 50 counties in Texas declaring invasion, and then things heating up between the federal government and Texas because of the border. And it's you know, when you see a headline finally on Fox, it says the country has been invaded. over 300,000 encounters at the border in December. Yeah, that's kind of what they call that. And so, I mean, what is it? Is it just that it's just so obvious that they just can't address it anymore? You think that's what it is, guys, or what?
Yes, definitely, because they have to come out and say something or they look totally foolish, but it's a little late. Yeah.
Tip.
I mean, that happens in a lot of areas. Even the universities come around when it's going so strong they can't deny it no more, then they'll get behind it. So that's what's going on, but that's treasonous. I mean, that man, you know, she put up that wire, and then Biden says they got to take it down. No, that's treason. You know, somebody should go to Washington and hang the man and everybody that defends him. That's treason. And that's guilty of death in the Bible. So, yeah, it's war, and it's internal war. But that's the idolatry that, you know, that's how I got into this whole ministry, authority, obedience, or whatever. And they look to the government to save them from everything, the farmers, everybody. It's sickening what people, where they've turned for their salvation, you know. And everybody thinks that money will fix everything. Well, you can have a pocketful and can't buy nothing. That's happened before in history. And, yeah, this federal government is not a god. We were a republic. That means the president is under the law just like the pauper on the street. And they're trying to tell us it's a democracy. And it's not working. But, you know, there's 24 states that are backed in Texas. I mean, this is really boiling, actually. I see where that Kristi Noem offered to drive a pickup load of razor wire to help them out by herself. So, yeah, the line's been drawn, and it's finally exposed, I would say. I just seen a map. My daughter sent it. And all the central United States is behind Texas, the West Coast, the East Coast is against them. So, and in Colorado, neither. You know, they got that queer governor and everything like that. But, and I'm sure Michigan's not behind them either as a state, but I am.
You know, Paul, it reminds me of how things were at the beginning of the Civil War, where you had you know, the federal government coming against the southern states. I think that we're seeing the beginning of that coming. I don't know. Tim, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I just, you know, we've been beating this drum for, I don't know how long now, years, literally. So I think when we look at that and see, well, what's going on, we were talking about asymmetric warfare 3 years ago, and that's what this amounts to. One of my friends called, and he said, well, you suppose maybe the armament angle would be the fact that, you know, here not too terribly long ago, we had all these government agencies like the USDA and post office and everything buying weapons and ammo wholesale and bulk huge quantities, and we were all going, I don't understand what that's all about, but maybe this kind of helps put it into context a little bit, you know. So I think it's very interesting. I mean, Greg Abbott wrote a letter on the 17th of January, and he said the threat we call, and he'd invoke the invasion clause of the U.S. Constitution. He says the threat we call out today is new and unfamiliar. In modern history, the U.S. has never suffered an invasion of the homeland, and yet one is unfolding now. And so, you know, I don't think that there should be any surprises here for us as far as what we're seeing. That's I applaud the fact that there's people rising to the occasion and standing up and saying no. And they've got 25 states that have signed that letter now for of governors that have signed the Texas border resistance letter. And they're sending, they're not just signing letters. Several of those states have sent National Guard members down there to Texas to help support them. So, it's, it reads like a who's who if you look at the map as far as the states that have supported it. I'm very disappointed in Kansas that they haven't done it, but it's just flyover country, the center section of the United States, you know, that has done that. And I also thought it was interesting that Operation Lone Star, they were given some numbers as far as Texas has transported. It's so funny. This actually is a letter from, or a press release from the Texas governor's office. It's on the .gov website, but they say 12,500 to Washington, D.C. since April 2022, 37,500 to New York City since August of 2022, 31,200 since August, 3,400 to Philadelphia, 31,200 to Chicago, I'm sorry, since August of 2022, 3,400 to Philadelphia since November of 2022, 16,000 to Denver since May 18th, 1,500 to Los Angeles since June 14th. And, you know, that's a pittance. I mean, that's simply a let us show you what's going on down here. Those numbers are as far as what's come across. But I don't like the use of the word migrants in there. Calling those people migrants is erroneous and misleading. They're illegal aliens. He could easily invoke that invasion clause because by their very nature, that's what they're doing. If you're illegally coming across the border, you're an invader. So, you know, there we are.
Well, and I know just locally, you know, down in Denver, I heard it on the radio yesterday, and I don't know if I got the numbers exactly right, but they were saying $116 million in just medical expenses just recently for illegals. They call them undocumented illegals, you know, but they said they can't recover from it. I mean, the hospitals are packed. They're going in, and that's what they're going for, is they're going in and, you know, getting all their free health care. You know, they're promised a cell phone, they get money, they get shelter. But they've blocked off streets down there, and, you know, they don't even know what to do with them. They've got them, you know, the trash is a big deal. And they have, you know, they run trash trucks, and the city's paying for that to go down there and pick up trash. And the people that say that they're up to two days a week going in there and picking up trash. And they say it needs to be every day because they just throw everything. You know, all the trash cans are full within hours of them picking them up. And, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a mess. And there's, you know, there's businesses around in that area that, I mean, it's, you know, it's virtually shut down a lot of businesses just because people won't go into those areas or those neighborhoods and do business. And you can't blame them.
No, not at all. Hey, guys, let's see if we can take a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, it's Floyd again, trying again. Can you patch the board?
Yeah, Floyd, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Okay, so I've heard some news in this. I've been watching this stuff. There are 27 governors who support the governor of Texas, and the governor of Texas has told his guards on the border to fight off the feds that are wanting to open the fence back up. And that's good news. And more news that I've been hearing is that I guess they're coming in from all countries through the Panama Canal. And guess what? The Panama Canal is refusing them. And so my picture of this is, even someone noted, is that we've got a civil war on our hands. Just in America itself, and the stuff going on in Gaza, watch this. We got mixed orders going on to the troops in Gaza that numerous countries are getting involved in. And so, well, you know, I mean, well, it's beyond just certain ships that are being all aimed in all time zones. Ships have been ordered to all time zones to protect the interest of the whole world of this crap going on. And, well, okay, now we got a World War III on our hands. Well, I've heard other news that World War III ain't going to happen, but it's going to somehow be initiated and be stopped. So this is pretty interesting.
Amen. Well, Floyd, thanks for the call. Thanks for the comments. I think we're in agreement there.
Yep. Okay.
Have a great weekend. Sure seemed like that's what we're seeing. And like you said, Tim, it's nothing new. We've been talking about it for a while, trying to warn and trying to just at least bring it out in the open. Because up until basically this morning, the media sure hasn't been covering much of it, and they really still aren't.
Well, and this is not a new process or a new technique for overcoming a strong country. I mean, historically speaking, this has happened before. They go in and they're calling this a soft invasion, but soft invasions at some point all turn hard. And if you destroy a country's ability to conduct enterprise and support itself and, run its businesses and its healthcare system is overloaded and financially inoperative, these things are, it's just another form of asymmetric warfare. I mean, all you have to do is, the more upset it is, the more confusing it is, the more pandemonium that goes on, the easier it is for it to fall prey to these foreign invaders that come in. And at some point, that soft invasion will turn, you're going to hit a flashpoint. And when that happens, it's going to get ugly fast. And I dare say that from what I hear from people in some people I know in Arizona and Texas, it's already pretty ugly down there. We just aren't hearing about that on the news. You know, that's not something they are letting out.
It's definitely, yeah. Interesting, very interesting. Now, who knows? It's been going on, and the other thing that happened too is, they're saying that the Border Patrol is trying to do this and that, and it's the feds against the state and this and that. Well, the state hasn't been doing their job either. I mean, you talk to the locals and the people that live down there. I mean, they've slacked us, and they haven't done their job, in a long time either. So, I mean, it's not the state versus the feds.
Yeah, well, it's true. it's a whole abandonment of God's word. You know, that's what's going on here, and I guess they might say we're all guilty to some degree, because first of all, we've elevated that federal government to the status of God itself. You know, and they, like the feds come in and walk over the local people. See, if an individual's freedom isn't safe, nobody's is, and it's all about the corporate. Take care of the most of the stuff and walk on individuals, and that's been going on for a long, long time. And I seen a talk to a guy yesterday, and he said, hey, these are all young men. These aren't families that are coming in here. And I come out of somebody that didn't really know much about nothing. It's an invasion, and it's planned, and the New World Order is behind it. Biden's the scapegoat, but it's bigger than that, and it's actually the bankers that are pulling this worldwide. They're trying to take dominion, and the way they do it, they create confusion and that thing, and then they just step back and take the bounty, and it's been going on forever. The United States got into the Federal Reserve in 1913. By 1917, they had us in World War One. And that's who's pulling the chain. There's a power struggle going on, and the best way they can do it, they couldn't get our guns, so they couldn't shoot us. Now they'll just flood us with aliens, so you can't even move. So that's my take on it, and I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. But
well,
God,
I know,
does
talking it. with a state trooper, this was going back 15, 20 years ago, and he was telling me about how he had stopped. Pulled over, an illegal alien driving a semi-truck with no insurance, no driver's license, no CDL, no medical, all this kind of stuff. And is what he was, and this is 15, 20 years ago, when he pulled him over, he was required to call ICE or whatever they call that, the immigration. and he had called the immigration, and if they didn't show up within 4 hours, then he had to leave. So he was tied up for 4 hours because he wasn't allowed to leave. He was supposed to wait for them to show up. And then when they didn't show up 4 hours later, he let them go. And we were talking about just how it was, you know, those trucks, they were bringing trucks in that didn't meet any of the REPA regulations. And, I mean, it was a war on, you know, it was a war on truckers. I mean, it's, you can get, if you don't have somebody that doesn't have a CDL, they don't have the medical card, they don't have insurance, they don't have all their proper licensing, and they're using trucks that, old trucks that actually I think are a lot better trucks, but you can't license those in the United States. So they can come in and they can do whatever they want, and you know, then it ties him up for 4 hours where he can't do anything. I mean, it's just you know, it's been going on for a long time, and there's a lot of stuff that you know has been, and you know, I mean, you can't compete with that. You can't compete with them, you know, trucking in the produce, as far as even, you know, the farmers.
Yeah, and we've had remnant. Yes. We've had remnant send pictures in that. Yeah, it's not families. It's not families. It's, as the headlines say, it's middle-aged, military-aged men. Guys, let's try the phone lines once again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is the old cowboy from down here on the border. I've talked to you guys a few times and engaging in your conversation this morning. We don't have to worry about no invasion coming. We've been invaded for a long time. It's so bad here, the border's been abandoned. If you ranch on the border and you want to gather your cattle, don't worry about talking to the Border Patrol. You get a hold of your cartel man, and he'll let you know when you can gather without no trouble. And it's that bad, and we've been ignored by the media. It's plumb dangerous to be in them mountains a horseback if you don't have permission in your own country on your own ranch.
Wow.
And there's nobody guarding that border. I mean, it's so minimal that they got them all working down there, processing, running them through like cattle, you know, see how many they can get across. But, you know, and we get ignored by the media down here, and it's like that all over that border. They're already in control of our side.
Amen. Well, partner, you're in our prayers. Know that.
Well, please pray for everybody down there, and we sure appreciate you guys being one of the few to get the word out.
All right, sir. God bless.
Thank you.
Well, folks, there, I mean, that's just unscripted right off the border from somebody that's there, not Fox News, not CNN, just somebody that's living there, U.S. citizen, taxpayer, rancher, that he has to call his the Mexican cartel mafia that's controlling his area and get permission to go move his cows. Hey, Pasco, I need to move the cows. Okay, what date? Okay, you can go here and there on these dates in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Folks, we are seeing biblical events happening in this land right now. I like how he put it. It's not an they're not starting to invade. They have invaded and taken over. Wow.
Hey, Richard, you just about disappeared. We can hardly hear you.
Yeah, we can't hardly hear anything.
All right, is that any better there? Or how about that right there? 1, 2, 3.
A little better.
That's better? Okay. Didn't want to blast
that's
it out.
Good.
But it is. It's biblical events that we are living. The absolute invasion of this country. And the takeover, the planned anyway. It's good to know that our Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at the plans of evil men. And I can tell you also, I'm encouraged. The there's more people that are waking up that are ordering more things like the introductory packet and the Westward Trek map. Just had a cart order that came in this morning for actually a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff. And, you know, when the pamphlets are $2 and $3, that's a lot. And there's more and more people that are doing that. Cause it's not like I don't recognize the names and I have to, mail it to them, and I don't have their mailing address until they send it to me. And so it just is encouraging, cause there's more and more new people that are doing that are waking up. Let's try this phone line one more time. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Kevin in Ohio.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, I'm really glad to see what's going on. I know we all are. And what somebody mentioned earlier about all the ammunition that the federal agencies have, and I've never really been able to understand. What are they going to do? Have postal carriers carry guns to bring you mail? You know, and so forth. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Or the USDA, what are they going to do? Come out to your farm and, shoot you or what? It doesn't have any logic to it.
It does now. It does now.
It does. But they're not qualified to do anything with that ammunition at all. Hello?
No, but if it falls into the hands of these, or is given into the hands of these people coming across the border, then they're armed. They didn't have to bring anything with them. It was already on site.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the belief, Kevin, is that it's just been stockpiled and, put in areas so that when there is an armed revolution, when these invaders are directed to take up arms, that there they are, that it's there. Time will tell.
Yeah, prepositioning is the only thing I can see possible.
Yes.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you.
Archer, thank you.
It is interesting. I heard a blurb on there's also a big truck convoy and other vehicles that are headed toward Eagle Pass, I guess, currently, and they're estimating about 700,000 vehicles headed down to Texas. So I don't know what that's all about. It's kind of a developing thing. But just a blurb. Interesting. And their cry out there is, we're going to take our border back. But, at any rate, there's some support being shown there. I thought that was interesting as well.
Well, my daughter said the thing is there's a truck convoy that's 20 miles long up on the border someplace. And, it's growing. It's growing fast. And there's people who know that we're fighting for our life right now. But the trouble is, it'll work. That day is coming when it's going to take us 7 months to bury the dead. And I think we're building up to that myself. Just an opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah, very possible. The other thing that, like what that caller was talking about is that these cartels, and from what I understand, that's just rampage, too. They're all over the place, and they've got, you hear about once in a while when they get one of these drug busts, and, they talk about, there was, 750,000 lethal doses of, fentanyl or something like that in there, and it's just, it's where are all the drugs going? I mean, it's hard to even imagine that too. But I guess that they're taking them with most of. I think that is what they're saying is most of the drugs are coming in from the border, but then they're just getting distributed all across the country. And I mean, I've been hearing about these towns in Alaska and Nebraska and Arkansas, and I mean all these different remote different places. That all of a sudden they've got a huge drug problem, and we're not talking about somebody smoking dope or marijuana. We're talking fentanyl and heroin and methamphetamines and hardcore hard drugs.
Yes,
and. It's all over the place, and it's like And some of the people that get involved in drugs, it's just hard to believe that they, you know, that people would get into it. But I mean, it's an epidemic across this country, and it, you know, you're thinking about that. It's, you know, it, what we've got is, you know, we've got a sin problem. I mean, you know, you're talking about even stuff in the Bible Belt that's getting, you know, overcome with drugs at epidemic levels. And you know, it's like, you know, wow. It just, I mean, it's hard to believe. And you know, I guess, you know, I can't, don't even understand how it works or anything like that. But it's definitely an epidemic with sin, because if people are turning to these hardcore drugs that way and in these numbers, I mean, there's businesses that have had to quit drug testing because if they continue to follow their drug policy, they wouldn't have any employees. And you know, they didn't think that it was that bad. The one company that I know of, you know, they figured that they had called everybody in for a mandatory drug testing, and they figured they'd weed out the druggies. Well, the next day there was nobody that could show up for work. And they had to amend their drug policy overnight. And that's happened on, I mean, you think, okay, that's just one incident. No, that's all over the place. It's just, you know, and it's like, wow. I mean, it's just, you know, hard to understand.
And, you know, it's not in the cities either. You know, I was hunting with my brother-in-law and stuff in Wyoming and stuff. We broke down, and I started reading about how way out in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming, they have all these drug problems, you know, drug overdoses. You know, well, they don't even have no neighbors. And up in Montana, too, you know, we went to a bar, and my brother-in-law, they were gambling and stuff. I talked to this bartender. She was a nice lady. She didn't have a newspaper or nothing like that. She says, you wouldn't believe what goes on in this place on the weekends. You know, these women come in here, he said, they probably got the best man in the world right at home, and they come here and they're whoring around and stuff like that. But this is way out in no man's land that this has happened too. That's my point. It ain't just in the cities. But you can't believe how many people are on antidepressants that I know of. And see, in my opinion, you never have a peace in your heart until you know who Jesus Christ is. And then they go to these antidepressants to cover that up, and then it just gets deeper and worse and worse. There, and alcoholism and that drug abuse and all these addictions to stuff is actually a lack of God in their heart. That's my take on it. But there, you can't believe how many drugs are in the neighborhood. As you know, marijuana and stuff. I know people, big apple farmers, smoke marijuana all day long. You know, and it's just overwhelming.
It is. And
you guys are exactly right. The only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When you present people with a hopeless situation, which when they're not grounded and they're not anchored in that, there's a reason the Bible says that, you know, who our anchor is and what we're supposed to be rooted in, you know. And when you look at that, a lot of those people turn to things like drugs and immorality and everything else because it becomes just a current situation salve for the pain that they're involved in now. They see no hope. They don't see any way out, and they don't realize it, that Christ is our way out. Christ is our protection, and that He's promised that He's going to take care of His people. And, you know, Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And when you get the right framework, you can see what's going on. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's obvious that the Fed is against the people, that they're only out there for the corporate interest and the special interest groups and everything else. They don't care about the individuals, but Christ does. God is he cares. And to Him, one, you know, if God is for you, who can be against you? It doesn't say if God is for your government or if God is for your country or That's you. That's a personal thing. And when we see that, that's a hope renewer right there. I mean, that lifts you up on the wings of you know, God's divinity and his power. And he's going to take care of you, each one of you, you know. So that changes the whole aspect of what we've got going on there.
Well, that drug thing is just like gun control. You get rid of the demand for it, and that's how you whip it. You don't just take it away because they find something else. But and like guns, you don't take guns away. You create change the hearts of men. That's how you change things. And the guns, wrath is coming on us so violently. You know, he's had enough of this crap, and there will be a remnant. There will be a remnant. But, and all Israel will be saved. I don't understand that, but there's something about it. The law of God is written in his wife's heart, and he will come home sometime. So when all else fails, you know, it's just like the instructions. You buy something, you put it together, and then you got it ain't right. You got to go back and read the instructions. That's about the way it worked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, there's the solution. You know, the Bible reading plan, we've just been reading through Exodus. And just this last week, got through the Ten Commandments that are given, and the laws and the judgments, and where God is giving basically his way of life to his people. You know, his laws, his ways of how to be with people and dealing with different things. And it's been great reading it because it's foundation. It's what the European nations were founded on. It's what this country was founded on. That those laws, those Ten Commandments, and those others, that yes, it was Old Covenant, and yes, we're New Covenant today, but same people. And it is encouraging that I think more and more people are starting to realize that, and that it is only going to be a return to Jesus Christ, not a return to Judeo-Christianity, because that's been one of the problems. That's one of the biggest problems in this land, is the false Christianity that's called Judeo-Christianity. But when people turn back to their Bible, when they start to have the keys to a little understanding and start to see that these fancy preachers and stuff have been lying to them, then we'll see that remnant grow and grow.
That's the trouble with them. They ain't actually been lying to them. They've just been leaving about three things out that are so essential to the whole thing, what sin is and baptism and who the people are. If they would teach that, first of all, they'd be off TV immediately. But they teach a lot of the truth. I mean, you know, they do just enough to, you know, it's like rat poison, 97% cornmeal and 3% poison.
Right.
So it ain't like they totally lie to them. It's just that they don't tell them what they need to hear.
Yeah.
Like, what is sin?
Right. Well, I remember Pastor Peter's teaching years ago that he had mentioned that that was the story behind Billy Graham, was that they went to him. Who was it? Hearst went to him and said, I'll make you famous and let you go spread the word all over, except for two things: baptism and tithing. And when you listen to Billy Graham, the 60 years he preached, he never touched on those two things. And so, Paul, you're absolutely right.
And at the end, he said, go to your church or synagogue of your choice, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening, he hung himself right there.
Yeah.
But I'd sure hate to have his reward.
Yeah. Well, it's just that.
It might be defined differently than reward, huh, Paul?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding.
Well, we have the whole Bible. It's not just believe and be saved. I mean, there's more to the word than that. And that's all these Judeo-Christian dirty birds, that's all they put out.
Well, they hate when you bring up the law. Oh, that's Old Testament, you know. They just, right there, they're not teachable when they say that, because you know, it's like the, would you build a house and just set it on the soil? Or would you put a foundation on it? The Old Testament, I hate that too, the original Testament is the foundation. And the New Testament, the Enlightened Testament, does not argue with it. It just enhances it. And it's the whole Bible. It ain't just the New Testament. You tell me a New Testament Christian, you tell me you're a lawless person.
Right.
And we're not saved by keeping the law. We just respect it.
Well, yeah, and that's one of those things where you realize that, you know, there's that underlying spirit there that needs to be kept. I mean, you can't, you know, what part of that, for example, I love to take the Ten Commandments. I mean, basically they want to throw those out all the time is what they're saying. And it's like, so which one of those don't you agree with? You know, which one is wrong? I mean, which one should you do the opposite of?
Right.
And, you know, that really puts them in a quandary. It's like, yeah. And Pastor did a sermon years ago on the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And the spirit of the law is certainly with us. And he came to add to that. He said Christ did in the New Testament. He said, I didn't come to do away with it. I came to add to it. And, you know, when you, and which one of us, you have the beginning of your salvation and the joy of your salvation, but then as you grow, you realize that's the part where you get to do something, you know, where you get to participate. This is a participation sport. It's called life. You know, you don't just get saved and sit back on your hind end and you know, watch everything roll by, because after all, hey, I'm saved. I don't got to worry about it, you know, or anything else. You know, if you want to get prizes, if you want to and they may not show up in this life at this moment, but they'll certainly are, you know, put on your account. If you want to participate, you know, I mean, get in there and get to work. That's you know, that's our job. And does God got to have your participation in order for it to happen? No, but it's about you. It's your blessings, your ability. It's not his. He's going to win no matter what. He don't need you. But if you want to be on the winning team and contribute, then that's an opportunity for you. So, you know.
Well, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was sent only to lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, that means somebody gets left out. Everybody thinks everybody gets to heaven in their own way. I mean, it's just ingrained in, you know. And I was talking to this guy a while back, and I said, Jesus was sent, who's Jesus sent for? The Jews. I says, now, the Bible says Jesus was sent only to lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. Now, you're telling me he just came for Judah? He says, change the subject instantly, right out of his mouth. He says, let's change the subject. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it is, you know, I just got through reading the book of Jasher again. I just looked something up, and I just couldn't stop. I read the whole book. But it's just amazing of that book on when how Israel had his doubt. You know, Abraham and Isaac with older wives who were his sisters, and, you know, these are men of faith, but they still had a little weakness, you know, and they were going up against their enemy. And anyway, basically, God fought all their battles when they were obedient, and he destroyed some of them because they didn't believe. Joseph, he got 2 more years in prison because he turned to the butler, whoever it was. He says, hey, go mention this to Pharaoh. And God gave him 2 more years in prison. That's why he got 12 instead of 10. So, you know, God's a little vindictive. He's a jealous God, and he don't want you turning to other people. But, I just read it again. You always get something new out of it. That's probably the third time I read it. But it's just interesting, the foundation in Genesis of how we got here. You know, Abraham had faith like he was willing to sacrifice his son to be obedient to God. And that's who we are. We are that people. If God be for us, who can be against us? And we got to rise up and take that because, you know, right now, with all the invasion, all the people around us, and all our neighbor Judeo-Christians, we got to stand on the truth because we have the truth and they don't. So, But you, when you read those stories of those guys, all the faith that they have, we all have a tendency to doubt, you know. And God can create a miracle. You know, I was up in Wisconsin. I seen that lightning bolt. And still, it's how easy you can forget about that. You know, I said right then and there, I said, well, if you measure the time of how far they left down to the bridge, that's how long before the end is here. And I don't know how long that is, but that's something I actually seen with my own two eyes. So, and it is amazing how quickly you can forget it.
And we have forgotten. This country has. It's, you know, the Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, and they've been cracked pretty hard here. They really have. They really have.
Well, America's going nowhere. We are his people, and we are going nowhere. We're going to get spanked good and hard, but we're not going nowhere. This country's not going nowhere. This is the final resting place for the children of Israel.
Well, Tim, you got that information in front of you. One of the things that I wanted to talk about last week, we didn't get on. We had some technical difficulties. Do apologize about that. And I guess we still do have a few. We're trying to get the bugs worked out of everything. So we'll be doing things a little bit different next week, and hopefully it'll sound a little bit better. But, Tim, we were talking about the, you know, before we went on the, or tried to go on the radio, but this Ebola vaccine. Kind of an interesting deal. I guess late in 2023, Denver Health medical team down in Denver, Colorado, which is just about, you know, about an hour south of us, but they received the Ebola vaccine, which was, you know, kind of interesting. When they go in and they start immunizing all the healthcare workers ahead of time for something, I mean, that just, that kind of raises a red flag for me because, we've seen that before, and it's like, okay, they're getting this vaccine, and they're getting ready for it. And what are they playing with, and what are they doing? And we were looking at this this new lab that collaboration with Colorado State University, which is just a couple of miles from where I live. Right down the road from the church, and I'm not sure exactly. There's two places that I've heard that they're doing research with it, but they're building a new bat lab, and going to be playing around with the bats and with all these deadly viruses that you know, and you know, of course, they always put in there that, you know, oh, this is gonna help the future, and we're gonna save lives with this. Well, we've heard that with, you know, Lyme's disease and chronic wasting disease and all these other diseases that were infected, that animals were infected in a laboratory where they were doing research on them, and then released out to the public. And all of a sudden, it's like, we've got a new epidemic, you know, in the deer population, and you know, so on and so forth. But Tim, did you have you got any of that stuff that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I don't have it just in front of me at the moment, but I do know that Ebola vaccine, supposedly, that's a live virus RNA vaccine. There's a huge amount of concern in the medical industry from, what do you want to call it, honest researchers and doctors who say that it could create a mutation in it that, you know, and they were actually batting numbers around with that live vaccine, that live virus vaccine that they were giving them, they are they actually vaccinating those workers against Ebola, or are they vaccinating it to proliferate the spread?
The disease. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I wonder is because it looks like, Oh, I can't remember. I don't have the numbers in front of me either, but those numbers were just astounding. And it's like, how can anybody, and there's been a lot of, you know, people that are making a big deal out of it saying, hey, what is going on with this vaccine? This vaccine you know, we really don't have a problem with Ebola right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is that they maintain that if that vaccination is implemented on the general public, that the fatality rate on it will be north of 50%. It was. So it's like these things are, they make you scratch your head, you know. I mean, it's just like, but when you look at just like a lot of the doctor scenario and everything else, when you look at who the Hippocratic Oath is made to and the gods that are worshipped there, it becomes a little more clear as to the results or the outcomes of what they're seeking. But, yeah, I mean, and right in the center of the country, is that a good place to put in a research lab? I mean, let's put it in a highly populated area in the middle of the country, and especially when you look at things like, and I'm no major expert, I'm just kind of just kind of think about things and have questions, but one of the things is let's see, we have prevailing winds out of the west and that kind of stuff coming off of those areas. Why would you want a bat lab in an area like that? I mean, you wouldn't want it. Why would you put it into a highly populated area? Why would you? There was a time in this land back in the 20s and 30s, those research facilities like that were, on the edge of the prevailing winds where it went to sea or where it went somewhere like that, and they were in areas that were extremely sparsely populated. I mean, there was practically nobody out there. You might have to drive for 2 or 3 hours to get out to a research facility like that. I think the thing that what we're saying here is that you just got to really understand, and that wise as serpents and harmless as dove things, you need to understand who are the enemies of God's people? Who are the enemies of, I mean, what are they doing that is, you know, we ask why, not because maybe we don't understand it all the time, but as much as to just get people to, you know, think a little bit about what's going on there. It's like, well, you know, the reason why is they want that to happen. Those outcomes are the desired outcomes. You know, they're talking about population reduction. They're talking about, all of these things. And we have all this AI business going on, and we have all this fake people. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of stuff out there that makes you wonder if some of the people that you're seeing their faces are even that person, you know. I mean, different things like that. The demonic element has increased substantially in our society today. I mean, I think that my own personal opinion is that the enemy is walking around just like a lion, you know, and people aren't always smart enough to see it or understand what they're doing. So, boy, are we blessed that God's for us, you know. I mean, he's taking care of us. Sometimes we're just a bunch of sheep.
Yeah, well, one of the articles that I put up on the Newswire, and you can get there by going to the SFAWPN, but it starts off with exclusive America's frightening new bat lab. $12 million taxpayer-funded NIH research facility in Colorado will import bats from Asia and infect them with deadly diseases. And in the article, it talks about how they're going to import bats, and then they're going to put some of the most deadly pathogens on the planet, Ebola, NIMS, COVID-19, so on and so forth. Like you said, it's like, okay, wow. And we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that they like to kill is they like to poison people. And, you know, we have no idea how many people that they have killed throughout the years through deadly, diseases and viruses and bacteria and stuff of that sort. There's nothing new under the sun. And I really believe that when COVID-19 hit and they had their pandemic, I think that they expected a lot more people to die from it. And I think that they were shaking their heads and not realizing how come people weren't dropping like flies. I really believe that that's what they expected to happen, and that's what they wanted to happen. And it just didn't. And it was, you know, I think, I know for a fact that, God granted grace and mercy to a lot of people. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that they won't try it again.
Well, how do you know all that vaccine they gave their workers is the same one they're going to give the people?
Oh, well, exactly. You don't. I mean...
No, I got the vaccine. I'm okay. Well, yeah, you just gave one that is not the same. So, you're conniving rascals.
Yep. Amen.
Be kind.
Well, guys, there's the...
We are just about out of time.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Guys, thanks for joining. And Remnant, we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. We hope you'll join us, and we'll have a timeless pulpit truth message for you, and a new message as well, and a little review of the news. We'll start off with that. We'll give you an opportunity to partake with of communion with us. So we hope you'll join us. Good Lord willing, we'll be there, and that's our plan. And again, thank you. We want you to know we pray for you, Remnant. We ask for your prayers as well. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.